Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Megan.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, from little to grown.
We're in different areas of the country and in different stages of life.
But we both know that motherhood's a lot easier when real moms share tips and encouragement.
And remind you that it's really all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Mom Hour Voices, a special series on the Mom Hour showcasing diverse voices from across the motherhood community. I'm Megan Francis, and today I'm excited to be chatting with two members of our contributor team, Kia Hammond and Catherine DeVries. Both Catherine and Kia had babies in the not-so-distant past, and I had my first baby in what feels like the very distant past, 25 years ago this fall. So that means that at this moment, a quarter century ago, I was in full-on baby planning and shopping mode and actually getting ready to have my very first baby shower. It's kind of unreal to think that it's been so long, and I know a lot of things about having a baby shower have changed along the way, from who actually gets to attend to how and where expecting parents register, and also what gifts are on every mom's wish list. Kia and Catherine are here to get me up to speed on what's changed and what's still the same all these years later. Hey, Kia and Catherine, so glad to have you on the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm so excited about this because I just looked at the date as Sarah and I were planning this episode and realized that my first baby shower would have taken place almost exactly 25 years ago. It was definitely July of 1997. I know that much for sure. I can't exactly remember what the date was, but it was like right around this time. So my mind is kind of blown by that. And I know that you both have little kids and some slightly older, like babies, and then some slightly older kids too. So I thought it'd be really fun for us to just kind of, I'm going to play dumb a little bit because I don't really know what it's like anymore to have a little one that you're planning a baby shower for, or trying to do a gift registry or even buying baby stuff. So I'm going to play a little bit dumb and ask you all some questions about what that experience is like for you. But first, I thought it would be really fun if you took this opportunity to ask me, as a rather geriatric mom, how things were back in the olden days. It's like a quarter century ago, guys. So I'm sure you have some questions for me. Catherine, go first. You shoot one at me.
Yeah. So I think the thing I'm curious about the most is my first baby shower with my oldest, who's 5. My husband and I were there together. It was planned by a family friend, and it was like a party for both of us, basically. And I remember everyone that I knew who had older kids thought that was like so new that we would both be at the baby shower. And I'm wondering, like what was the involvement of the dads? And like, because it just surprises me that they just like wouldn't be involved at all.
I think that that's one of those things that, so 25 years ago, late 90s, it was becoming more of a thing to have joint showers of all kinds, like maybe a joint baby shower or instead of a bridal shower and a, you know, bachelor party or whatever, or a guy's shower, like a combined thing. But it was not the norm. I think if you lived like maybe in a city or on the coast or something, or ran in like a hipper set than I did, it would, in small town Midwest, there was no way that anybody but me was invited to the baby shower. And I would actually say, when I was pregnant with like subsequent kids, I had lots of different kind of parties thrown for me that were all very mother centric. They weren't all baby showers, quote unquote, but I had like a blessing way, type of event. I think that was with Will. So that would have been 19 years ago. So still going back pretty far, but they were still very mom centric. And, I do remember my husband at the time helping me register for gifts, but that's not because he was going to get to go to the shower, and he got to come at the end of the shower and pick the gifts up and put them in the car. That was his contribution. So
nice.
That's a great question. That's a great question. Kia, what you got for me?
I'm so glad you asked that, Catherine, because that was what I was going to ask too. I couldn't wait to hear that answer.
Okay. Sorry. We took your question. You got another one?
Yeah. Yes, I do. Okay. How did you know what you wanted for your baby? Because I know you had older sisters who had kids. So did you just see what they had and thought, I want that? Or did you kind of say like, oh, I see you have that. Can I have that when you're done with it? Or magazines? Like, how did you know what you wanted?
Yeah. So I know it feels so long ago. So I did have internet, but it was nothing like the internet now. Like, I think I was on a Parents Place forum, which was like iVillage, which I don't think either of those things exist anymore. So people would talk about products, but you would see things in magazines. You would see things on TV. Mostly, though, I saw stuff by just wandering around Babies R Us. That was kind of like the mega, that was like the mega store for baby stuff. And I would just wander around and be like, ooh, that's neat. Oh, that's cool. I mean, there wasn't even Amazon yet. So you really didn't have a way to do a lot of comparison shopping. There wasn't, like, I don't think Bye Bye Baby existed. If it did, that might have been like in bigger cities. Yeah, it was like Babies R Us. And my sister is 10 years older than me and had been a mom for quite some time by the time I became a mom. So her stuff was kind of old, you know, like she kind of had some old crummy stuff from like the early 90s. So I didn't want any of that. So I would just walk through the store. And I remember actually walking through with my little gun, because that's how you did it. And we'll talk about how you guys do it now. And pointing it and just being like, I had no idea there were so many bottles. I had no idea there were so many diapers. I had no, and just going, I guess let's just register for all of them because I don't know any better. And then, of course, there were some things that just, you know, stood the test of time from when, like, my mom had a daycare when I was a little kid. So there were things that my mom had in her daycare in the 80s that were still very much around. I guess burp cloths don't really change that much and things like that. So there was like definitely a mix. Diapers had come a long way, even by that point, and continued to. So those are really great questions, you guys. Okay, let's take a break, because when we get back, I want to ask you a lot of questions about the reality of buying baby stuff and having baby showers now. So we'll be right back. Sarah, we hear from parents in our community quite a bit who are struggling with speech and language development in their toddler. I mean, toddlers are challenging, period. When you're also having trouble communicating with your child, it can just bring up all kinds of big feelings and be overwhelming. Our sponsor, Connect It's Not Just Speech, offers a coaching program for parents who want to help unlock their toddler's communication and make progress toward talking.
Yeah, so the Step-by-Step Academy from Connect It's Not Just Speech was created by two SLPs, that speech-language pathologist, who have a passion for opening the doors of communication for babies and toddlers ages 0 to 3 who are showing early signs of autism and those actually diagnosed with autism. It's a super individualized coaching program where you send in videos of yourself interacting with your toddler, and then Sherry and Alicia provide highly detailed guidance on exactly what to do next. They really believe that a lot of the frustration parents feel about traditional speech therapy comes from the fact that it tends to focus on talking and words, when there are so many interactions between parent and child that really lay the foundation for communication even before the child starts talking.
If you're interested in working with Sherry and Alicia and taking your toddler's communication into your own hands, check out the Step-by-Step Academy from Connect It's Not Just Speech to see if it's a fit for your family. Just visit www.connect-speech.com. That's www.connect-speech.com. We are welcoming back our sponsor, Hiya, today. Sarah, our listeners love this kids' daily multivitamin designed to fill the gaps in modern kids' diets without added sugar and gummy junk. Hiya was created by two dads who realized that most of the kids' vitamins on the market were basically candy. They spent 3 years working with top pediatricians, nutritionists, scientists, and parents to develop a daily chewable that you can feel good about giving your kids and that kids love too.
Hiya is made from a blend of 12 farm-fresh fruits and vegetables, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals known to help support a healthy immune system, energy levels, brain function, mood, teeth, bones, and more. If you've got allergies or food sensitivities in your family, you'll love knowing that Hiya Kids vitamins are vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free. They ship right to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule, so you don't have to worry about running out.
We've worked out a special offer with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour or enter code MOMHOUR at checkout. That's HIYAHEALTH.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Okay, so I definitely know that in the past 25 years, expectations around not only baby showers, like, great question about who's even supposed to come to the baby shower, Catherine, but also the process of, like, gathering stuff for a new baby, maybe what the expectations are of people in your social circles, what kinds of gear, all that's changed. And both of you had babies during the pandemic, which, of course, made that change even more dramatic. So, Catherine, you've got three little kids. You've got a baby and a couple of slightly older kids. So talk about how much things changed from your oldest to your youngest.
Wow, a lot. My oldest is 5 and a half, and we did like a pretty, like I said, my husband was there, which I think is pretty traditional now. I feel like a lot of my friends do that kind of thing for baby showers, but we actually went to Bye Bye Baby with the little scanner thing. Like we did that too and walked around okay. and collected all the things for our baby shower. And it was a lot and it was really overwhelming. And then with my second, I kind of told people like, just don't get me anything. Like I found the whole process of, I almost wonder if the internet made it worse almost because it felt like there were too many choices. So with my second, we just had like a smaller gathering that wasn't even really a baby shower. And then with Walter, who's my youngest, we pretty much did nothing. And that was kind of pandemic related, but also because I felt like I had accumulated so much stuff between the first two that it was just, I told people to maybe chip in for a babysitter at some point. And that's all I really wanted by the third time.
Yeah. How about you, Kia?
So my first baby shower would have been like 14 years ago and I didn't register for anything. And I was really young. So my mom just kind of took over everything that she knew that I would need. And it was actually a surprise baby shower. So I didn't know anything. Okay. And that was nice. And it was the more traditional where it was just me and like my friends and, you know, my mom and aunts and stuff like that. I remember picking out a baby bathtub and my mom like kind of scolded me like, you're not allowed to pick out anything else because it's all going to be a surprise. And then when I had my second baby 8 years later, me and my husband did go to the store with a little gun. We had a local Babies R Us, so we were really excited about that. But we didn't have a baby shower. We actually had a baby queue where we just wanted friends and family to come celebrate us having a baby. We didn't want anyone to buy us anything. I think because we were so excited, we just wanted to buy everything ourselves, which sounds so silly. Like we wanted it when we wanted it.
Yeah. I get that, though, that you want some control over it.
With my son, it was the same thing. It was our first boy. We had all of our girl stuff that we didn't need, and we wanted to buy all of our boy stuff. Just we wanted to buy it. And then with Elsie, my last baby, since I didn't have a shower, you know, previously until like 14 years beforehand, I asked for like a sprinkle for my sisters because I knew it was going to be my last baby, but I wanted it more mom-centered. So I just wanted like diapers for the baby if you had to buy something for the baby, but really I wanted like comfy pajamas and like lactation cookies and stuff like that.
I love that you brought up the baby sprinkle because and the baby cue, neither of these were these were not things that I had ever heard of till like long after my last. So Clara's 13. I had never even heard of any of those things. So if I'm correct, a baby sprinkle is kind of like a light, like a shower light. Like it's more like a celebration with a few gifts.
Yes.
And not, okay. So let's talk about those social expectations. Kia, I would love to hear from you first on this one, since you've got also kind of the older kid as well, the teenager. Do you feel like things have changed as far as like what's expected about when you're going to get a shower, whose job it is to throw you the shower, what you can expect? I remember there being some grumpiness around multiple showers or having a shower for a second baby when my kids were little. Like I remember that being kind of like a debate and thinking, oh, that's silly. If people want to have a baby shower, they should have a baby shower. Has thinking changed around that? Do you get a shower with every baby now? Or is it like, does it really vary?
So I'm so glad you said that because I think a big reason why we didn't have a shower for my second baby, even though it was 8 years later, was my mom felt kind of grumpy towards it. Like, well, you shouldn't have a second baby shower for your second baby. And so that kind of leaned in on me. So then with my fourth baby, my sisters were like, well, do you want one? Because I know like mom. So no, like I'm not throwing any shade at my mom, but like I definitely got that feeling that you got to like kind of grumpiness. And then people do get a little bit catty over like who has control over the showers. I have thrown a few baby showers for friends and family. And some people get really mad. Like, what do you mean he's bringing his uncle and like grandpa and like a bunch of guys to the shower and not just the dad. And then other expectation wise, a lot of times there's something like bring books for the baby instead of cards. And then they're like, right. bring diapers for the raffle. I kind of feel like it's a get all you can get kind of thing, which I like it. I think that, you know, why waste a card if you can buy a book and the parents can start their little library that way.
Right,
note in the card. Yeah.
I think people have definitely gotten really clever about, I don't want to say it's a gift grab, but it's like, hey, here's what I need. So maybe for the first baby, I got all kinds of stuff, but like second baby, maybe I don't need all that. Maybe I really just need diapers or I really want books or whatever. And we're here to like celebrate the baby and help the parents out. I feel like, okay, like maybe you could put some requests around that. Yeah. Catherine, what's been your experience?
Yeah, I feel similarly. I think as my kids or my friends who have kids the same age as me have started having multiple babies, we've thrown like little kind of friends only showers or sprinkles, I guess, for the kids who come later. And yeah, there is a little bit of like passing around, like who's going to do it this time kind of thing when it's just your friends planning it. And then I also sometimes feel like it's a little stressful because, you know, people will take pictures and post on social media and there's all these places to look up like games we can play and like cute themes, like, you know, the books where everybody signs them. And I think that can kind of load the pressure on where you're like, oh, wow, I got to step it up at the next one.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Catherine. So we were talking about like showers and what those can look like now. Let's just talk about baby registries in general. Like, what do they look like in 2022? And I mean, you talked about the little guns. Are you registering at different, like, different stores? One store? Is it still the mega store? Is everyone using the same places? I'm really curious what that looks like.
Yeah, you know, so I registered at Bye Bye Baby with my first and then didn't with my other ones. And I haven't really seen anyone do that kind of thing lately. I know there's Baby List now, which is a lot of people use. And that's great because you can, they have a little button that you can add to your browser. So you can link items from like anywhere on the internet to your baby list. And you can also add, you know, they have a place to add a fund for like babysitting or even for a doula. Or I have a friend who funded her birth photographer through part of her registry. So people could contribute to that. You know, we did that for our honeymoon too. There's like a honey fund website that's similar. And those I feel like are the gifts that I as a gift giver gravitate towards, because like, how cool is it to say that you, you know, funded somebody's postpartum doula or something. I think it's a little more memorable.
Than, yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
Key, what did you notice that was different from like your oldest to your youngest, as far as like where the registering was happening or how it was happening?
I think that the biggest thing that I've seen change is you get like little gifts everywhere you register. So like for each baby, I still registered at all the places for the gift. And then what I didn't buy, after past a certain date, like closer to your due date, you get a percentage off. So then you can use like the 15% off to go buy your new baby a crib. Even though no one else bought you anything for your from your baby registry, you could use that perk. So that was really helpful.
I'm curious, for Kia and then Catherine, love to hear from you too. When my younger three were born, there were starting to be a lot more indie baby boutiques than those were online and in real life, but there really was no streamlined way to register for gifts at them, or like there's no convenient way to ask for something handmade or artisan made or from like a little online store. Catherine, you mentioned Baby List. Does that also apply to like smaller stores, or has it changed? Are there better ways to now do that shopping where you're not just stuck with those big stores?
Yeah, Baby List lets you link things. Like there's a cute shop in my town called Little Devil's Boutique that's like baby, you know, cool baby clothes. And you can link stuff from that. You can link stuff from Etsy. I've also had friends who had baby showers who have said, like, here's a list of the places, the small businesses in town that would be cool if you could support those when you come. But yeah, I think the internet has definitely made it easier to request those kinds of places specifically.
Okay, Kia, same question. Have you noticed that is becoming more accessible with, you know, your younger babies?
It's definitely more accessible, but with the baby list that Catherine talked about, that is, I think, the most popular baby registry website now. I know there's one that I really love from, it's called Spearmint Baby. And like they have their own, you can register on their website. But again, it's so much easier to put it with like stuff you can get from like Target or other things like that. So they did make it really easy.
Yeah. Well, then you get like a whole, you get a whole, like all the experiences at once, which is kind of cool. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about the pandemic. You know, that definitely changed. You both had post-pandemic or I guess mid-pandemic babies. And I want to hear how that changed the experience of shopping for and even celebrating those babies born after that time. So we will be right back.
Megan, I love that we are now both using the Overnight Sensation Brightening Sleep Mask from our sponsor, Thrive Cosmetics. It's like a little self-care ritual we share from thousands of miles away. And seriously, this stuff is great. It's soothing while also doing great stuff for your skin's appearance. And those two things do not always go hand in hand. But I've come to expect that kind of skin nurturing treatment from Thrive Cosmetics because all their products contain only clean, skin-loving ingredients. They're 100% vegan and cruelty-free with no parabens, sulfates, or phthalates.
In addition to the sleep mask, I am in love with Thrive's Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara. I've never been terribly brand loyal with mascara, but I can really tell the difference now when I use other brands. Thrive's Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara just makes my lashes look so long and thick, and then it comes off really easily so I don't have to tug on that delicate skin around my eyes.
Thrive's Bigger Than Beauty promise means that for every product purchased, Thrive Cosmetics donates to organizations that help women thrive, whether that means they're domestic abuse survivors or fighting cancer. Now's a great time to try Thrive Cosmetics for yourself. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order when you visit thrivecosmetics.com/themomhour. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/themomhour for 15% off your first order.
We are welcoming back our sponsor, KiwiCo, today. KiwiCo delivers monthly crates of science and art projects for kids of all ages and kids at heart, and they include everything you need to complete each project so you can bring it wherever summer takes you. Sarah, I love that summer adventures can turn into a lifelong love of learning, and that's what KiwiCo builds on.
Yeah, you're so right, Megan. We actually just got some new Kiwi crates in the mail. It was a huge hit, and they arrived on a day when I really needed some at-home fun for my three kids. So Reed made a domino machine, which was from the Tinker Crate line. He just turned 12, and it was at a perfect level for his interest. So he built the domino machine, and basically it moves along the table and lays out dominoes so that you can play with dominoes. So all three kids then had fun playing dominoes after using this cute little machine to set them up automatically.
With KiwiCo, your child can get hands-on science, art, and geography projects delivered to your door every month, and they'll be so excited to see these arrive in the mail. Delivery day will be their favorite day and mom's favorite day because you'll know you just bought yourself some time where the kids will be occupied.
Pack summer full of memorable discoveries with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with code THEMOMHOUR at KiwiCo.com. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code THEMOMHOUR.
Okay, Kia, so I know you had, I believe, a baby born like early pandemic, like maybe you were far along in your pregnancy, and then I believe another one born like a year later. Am I correct about that or something like that timing?
You are correct.
Okay, yep. That's what I thought. So I would love to hear how the pandemic changed your experience of shopping for, not only shopping for your babies, but celebrating those youngest babies compared to the older kids.
Yeah, so my baby shower for my fourth baby, the sprinkle that I had, I wasn't due until December, but we had it in, I want to say like August, September, because it was warm outside. So we wanted, with COVID, we didn't want to be inside somewhere. We thought we could lower our risk and have it really early and it still be outside. So that was kind of weird because I wasn't like as pregnant and it was like so far away from my due date. I think some people were confused, like, wait, I thought you're not due for like a few more months.
Yeah.
And then as far as like shopping for baby, I just got so used to, with my first pandemic baby, ordering everything through like Amazon and Target online, that with my fourth baby, I don't even think I bought anything for her in the store. I mean, I did use a lot of things from my second baby, who was also a girl, like the same things. But I remember being in the hospital and she was my first baby that I didn't go to Babies R Us right after, like home from the hospital. We always went to Babies R Us. And she was my first baby that we did it, which was kind of weird because that was like our thing. Like, let's go grab a few things on the way home from the hospital. And she was so small, she needed a newborn clothes. So I just like Amazon primed some baby clothes to be at our house by the time we got home from the hospital. So I couldn't go like buy things in the store for her, or neither could like really anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just like make a friend.
Catherine, what about you? What did you notice was different about those experiences?
Yeah, I think the biggest difference with my youngest was that we had been trapped in our house for so long that I didn't want anything. I don't even think I bought, I mean, besides diapers, I don't know what I bought for him, if anything. And I think I probably gave more stuff away. I think it probably made me realize that like, there's only really three things that I need for a newborn and the rest is just like, get it out of my house. But yeah, I do think it was though, I would have liked to celebrate him more, I think. And like us having this baby because he's our last too. And yeah, I think that was kind of a bummer for sure.
Were people doing things like virtual baby shower? I'm sure they were. I saw them happening on Zoom. It's not the same though, right?
Yeah, it's not. It just felt kind of like I'm over Zoom at this point. You know, we were part of a little preschool pod with my older one. And the teacher of that pod was actually pregnant too. She had her baby a couple months after I did. And so we all had like a little pod celebration, which was nice, you know, with a cake and stuff. But
one thing that's making me think of when, you know, all of my kids, you know, even my youngest, yes, Amazon did exist. I don't think when Clara was born that overnight shipping was really a thing. Most things were still 2-3 days. And if you bought on a Friday, you weren't going to get it until like, you know, the following Tuesday or something like that. Just overnight shipping has changed everything. There used to really be pressure around making sure you went and bought things way in advance or ordered things way in advance. And now, I don't know, like Kia, you mentioned just having clothes shipped to your house. That's like amazing. That would never have been possible back in the day when I was having babies, especially those first few. Catherine, do you feel like that was something that you had to get kind of used to too? I can't remember how things were different 6 years ago. Were people buying things and having them shipped to their house overnight? I don't remember.
You know, I don't remember either, but I think so. I mean, with my first, I used to go to Target a lot because I just loved getting out of the house. It was like, you know, we would just wander the aisle. So if I needed like one pacifier, I would drive to Target just to have something to do.
Right.
But yeah, I'm sure I could have shipped it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, even when Jacob was born, yes, 24-hour stores did exist. And technically it was true that if you realized you didn't have diapers in the middle of the night or whatever, you could run out, but you don't want to, I mean, in the middle of the night. So having the option of having things shipped or even like, subscription based where you're getting them showing up at your house, you know, when like on a regular routine schedule, that I don't think, if it was a thing, it was highly specialized and not something that everybody had. Catherine, I'm curious what gear, services, products you noticed becoming, you know, accessible or popular by the time your youngest were born that didn't exist when your oldest was born?
Ooh, yeah. So the Haka pump is probably my biggest one. I'm pretty sure it existed when my first was born, but I didn't know about it and I didn't know anybody who had it. But it's like a little...
I don't know what that is.
it's a little handheld breast pump that is just like a little piece of silicone, basically. But you can kind of suction it to your boob while you're nursing on the other one. And it'll it'll catch extra milk so that you don't have to like put the whole pump together and deal with all of that. And then you can slowly kind of store up breast milk in the fridge or the freezer if that's what you're doing. So that was a big one, game changer for me. And then also
I would have loved that.
Oh, it was, I mean, it's probably $20 on Amazon and I send it to everybody that I know who's having a baby. But the other one is the, you know, the big ticket items like the LV pump that you can wear, you know, under your clothes while you're working, and the Snoo. That one had a big, a renaissance of sorts.
I don't know what the Snoo is. What's the Snoo?
Oh, it's the robot crib like the bassinet that will rock your baby to sleep for you.
Oh, wow.
And you can, okay. Yes, they're nice. They're incredibly expensive, but you can rent them.
Yeah.
And, you know, who's to say if it actually works? But it's a big thing. We tried it for like 2 months with my youngest, and it was very helpful for him because I didn't have, you know, I had two other small children running around, so I didn't have time to rock him to sleep. So you just strap him in and it rocks him to sleep.
Now, okay, I do remember there being something that you could stick on a crib or a playpen, I guess, when my kids were little that would jiggle it. I don't think the technology existed for it to rock. It would just like kind of create vibration. And I remember that people being kind of even grumpy about that, like it was cheating somehow. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking like, the baby doesn't know who's rocking the crib. Mm-hmm. Like the whole point is you're doing it, you know, you're way over here doing it. So they don't know you're there. You just want the movement. Do you feel like there's more acceptance of like that technology that kind of steps in and does the job of rocking a cradle, for example, for you?
You know, I think there's still that grumpiness for sure. And I felt that.
Okay.
I was like, I told my husband, I was like, I feel terrible. I'm putting him in this machine and then walking out of the room. But on the other hand, like one of my kids is going to jump off a balcony if I am sitting in the nursery for too long with this baby.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, and they've had swings forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, like baby swings were basically that. They just weren't as safe and they weren't really a great place for babies to sleep. But babies fell asleep in swings all the time.
Yeah.
And then you'd have that moment where you're like, well, do I try to take them out? Do I let them sleep in the swing? You're not really supposed to.
Yeah.
You know, how do I get them out and they don't wake up? So it's not like the tech. There were other technology. There was other cheats even back then.
Yeah.
But they just looked different.
I do have some mixed feelings about, you know, sleep. Things that support sleep in that way, because I think they can be kind of predatory towards moms, especially, you know, the snooze, super expensive if you're buying it, not renting it. But at the same time, you got to survive.
Right.
Yeah.
Kia, what about you? What wasn't available at all when your oldest was a born or a baby that you maybe were loved finding and discovering when your youngest was born?
So I am a big fan of white noise when your baby's sleeping. And with my oldest, I had like a little radio that I would just turn on like a channel that just played static. And that was my white noise. And so with my last three babies, I actually have like a little tiny sound machine that plays like different sounds. And it doesn't have to be plugged in because you can charge it. So I remember being like so excited about finding that. I also want to say like electric nail files for babies. You know, clipping them sometimes when they're little, when they're little and tiny.
Yeah.
I know my husband, Elsie's when she was a newborn and like made her bleed. You know how babies bleed like so much when they're so little. Well, now they have like a little electric nail file that's super for popular babies? On Amazon. For babies. Yes.
Oh my gosh,
it's very
amazing.
Convenient.
I used to chew my baby's fingernails because I was so afraid to clip them. Yeah.
So that was really cool. And then, oh, another thing, swaddling your baby. I was a huge swaddler, especially with my first, and now they have like the sacks. So those, they definitely didn't have those when my oldest was a baby. And now they have so many different kinds of brands and, you know, different fabrics, and they go up in like weight and age. So those are really cool too.
Well, and I love your story about the radio white. It was like the poorer person's white noise machine, but it wasn't for being poor. It was just, we didn't have it. It didn't exist. And we were very resourceful about things like that then. Like we would, you know, find ways to do things that needed to be done. Swaddling, we just used blankets. Like we didn't have, it wasn't like a specialty thing for every task of parenting yet. So Catherine, you said that you feel like it can be a little predatory at times. And I think that's really interesting because it feels like sometimes things are marketed as a need that maybe are like a want at best. How do you cut through the noise as a mom now and be like, this actually is something I could use or I need, and not just like, this is something I think I need because there's lots of stars, you know, it's getting a lot of stars, or like Instagram decided to feed it to me?
I think if I were to do it again for my first, I would get like a carrier and a positioner, like a, you know, something to keep them in while I'm cooking, and then a bassinet, and that's it. And then just wait and kind of see what my needs were. because I was just assuming like, oh, my baby's going to have colic and my baby's going to do this. And a lot of those things never came to be. So with the first, I had a lot of stuff that I really never used.
Yeah, what about you?
I was going to say that too. There's so many things marketed towards put your baby in here and it'll do this and put your baby in here and it'll do this. Where something like a sling, they could, you could buy so many different kinds of slings for like an outside sling or like the ring sling for like a smaller baby to be so close to you. I think that if we showed women those more things and they wouldn't be so overwhelmed by all the mess, because then you're constantly, you know, bombarded with so much stuff. So you have this over here for this and this over here for that. And I just think that because I've been a mom so long that I'm less likely to like fall into those traps of those things because they really didn't have any of them and I've never bought any of them. I think that's just because I've been a mom for so long that I know I can do without.
Yeah. Well, you've already been through it using maybe a more basic set of tools and your own resources. And then later, if you were just starting out now, it's like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory or something. You're just like, there's so many options. I need them all. And maybe they'd be helpful or handy for a day or two or like a very special occasion. But then you might find that now you just have more clutter to deal with and wish you hadn't bought it. It's a good segue to talk about social media in general, because I'm curious how Instagram and Facebook and all the social medias have, I'm not on TikTok really, but maybe there's some happening there too, how that has changed the tone around what we think we need as moms for babies, how we think we should acquire what we're getting, like the pressures around there and how it's being kind of fed to us. And then maybe also something about the sharing of it. Like, do you feel like if you buy something cool, you're now obligated to share it with every other mom that's on social media? Or if you use something and don't like it, do you feel like you have, you know, like an obligation to pass the word along? Kia, I would love to hear from you on this one because I know that being as your oldest as a teenager, things have gotten vastly different from oldest to youngest.
So as far as the sharing, I do kind of feel obligated to share what if I buy something and it's surprisingly really helpful. If I buy something, I feel like I wasted my money because I have so many friends and sisters who are having babies and a lot of them come to me like, is this worth it? Is this worth it? So I like to share if I have an input. And then also, I think that you have to, social media makes you feel like you have to do all the things. Like, if you don't have a maternity shoot, then like, you might as well not have been pregnant.
It didn't even happen.
If you don't have it.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you didn't have an Instagram-worthy, aesthetically pleasing baby shower or nursery.
Was there even a baby?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Like, is your baby even sleeping if they don't have that neutral nursery, you know, in the background?
Yeah.
So, and again, like, I only ever made one nursery out of all four of my babies. So I think that it can be predatory against moms, like Catherine said, just about something else, about what making you feel like you need these things when you really don't need them. Mm-hmm. So that's like the bad parts of like social media, Instagram. So yeah, it can be very wishy-washy up and down when it comes to social media.
Well, what about the good side where you're learning about things you maybe wouldn't have? Like, do you ever feel like, Kia, that you've seen it, like maybe an ad's been served to you or an influencer or something mentioned something and you're like, oh, that sounds great. And then you got it and it was just as amazing as you thought it would be. And it actually, it was worth, you know, having consumed that content.
Yes. So I think back to like nursing bras. When I had my first breastfed baby, I didn't know, like, I just bought like the Walmart version of nursing bra. And then they have like bras that you can use to pump and nurse in that I wouldn't have known about if I didn't have social media or different baby carriers. I would have known, you know, looking at the aisle of baby carriers, well, which one do I get? People sharing those on social media that can be so helpful, as well as even, feeling like okay in your breastfeeding journey. Like, there's a lot of good educational accounts, when it comes to things like breastfeeding and that I found really helpful that I know other people are finding helpful as well.
Yeah. What about you, Catherine?
Yeah, I agree. I think you just, you know, like always on social media, have to be careful about who you're getting your information from. And I think after my first, I followed a couple local groups that were like my town's baby wearing club that was all, you know, they would review baby carriers, and then a breastfeeding group that would share stuff that was helpful. And I think the fact that it wasn't a lot of like sponsored content necessarily was helpful.
Yeah.
But I agree. I think any time that I saw somebody telling me like this thing made motherhood in general easy, it was like a trigger for me that like that can't be true because it's just not easy.
And it's not going to be, and almost nothing is going to be the make it or break. Like, you know, one product is probably not going to make or break your breastfeeding relationship, for example. So, yeah, that's like a big, sell, like a big selling point. That doesn't seem.
Yeah. True. And I think it's tough because a lot of people, that's what they're doing on social media is presenting, you know, something that's pretty and looks nice and, you know, is relaxing to look at. And like real motherhood's not super relaxing to look at.
And not pretty to look at. And I do think we're emotionally drawn to that feeling. Like if I have these things, then I will present this state of motherhood that's calm and peaceful and loving, and like it's going to make the whole experience, it's like going to curate a whole experience. Mm-hmm. And then you actually become a mom and you're like, or you add another baby because you forgot, you know, the first one got a little older, and then you're like, oh right, there's just a lot of spit up and poop no matter what is there on your body or attached to your nipple. Well, ladies, this has been so fun. I know at the very beginning, I gave you both the opportunity to ask me a question, since I'm kind of like an alien from a 25-year-old planet and when it's talking about, you know, baby shower stuff, because I really didn't even have, I think maybe some friends threw me a party for Clara because she was my only girl. But I do think my only true shower was with Jacob. Maybe I might have had a quickie for like a little one for Will. And that's kind of it. So, if you have any other questions for me about just what it was like to be a new mom back then or getting stuff for the baby, I would love to hear it.
Okay. I would love to know what, and I'm asking this because there are certain women in my life who gave me beautiful, beautiful baby gifts that were like the most impractical things that I've ever received. And I would love to know if there was anything you registered for or something people gave you that like made no sense looking back on it.
Oh my gosh. Well, so two things pop into my head. One is like that I would get multiple of the same sort of thing that you really could never use more than one. And the one that pops into my mind is those baby bathtubs. I think I got three of those at my first shower, but they're big. And you'll never, if you have one baby, you will never have an opportunity when you need to have three baby bathtubs, because you're not going to like give them a cold rinse in one and like, I don't know, a hot rinse in the other. So something like that. Like you just one is fine. The other thing that I kind of giggle when I think about it now is that my now ex-mother-in-law gave me so many clothes from my now ex-husband from his babyhood. And I remember thinking, I don't want the responsibility of keeping these clothes nice. Obviously you held on to them for some sentimental reason. They're now very out of date and very ugly. Like none of these were, and there was like a lot of polyester blend and very 70s, and like 70s were not back in yet. So I was like, what am I going to do with this like clown suspender overall things? Like, I'm not going to put this on my baby. Plus it's white, like pure white. So he's just going to spit up on it. I just truly didn't know what to do with it. It felt like she hung on to it because she couldn't let it go. And then was like, yes, now I get to unload it on my daughter-in-law. And I was like, thanks. And a lot of fakey like thank yous, like thank you so much, wow. So those are the two that come to mind. I bet if I thought about it for a while, I could probably come up with a whole list. Kia, do you have any final questions for me?
Yeah, I want to know, one, like what is something that you remember using a lot, whether it's with like all kids or one kid or your first or last? Like for me, I would say my baby wears. I couldn't have done motherhood without them. They made life a lot easier for me. Was there anything like that for you?
So when I think back to the thing that, I mean, baby wears for sure. And I had all different kinds of slings and baby wears. But the thing that feels like the biggest staple to me of motherhood were those flannel blankets that are about, like, they're like the swaddling blanket size, but you can kind of use them. You can like layer a few up and use them as a cover on a warmer day. You can swaddle and them, you can use them as a burp cloth. You can use them to wipe up messes. And we had them around for so long that eventually after like there was no more babies coming, they wound up cut up and used as rags. Like I kept them for so long, and they just served so many purposes that I do think that they were, I think that they were like useful. They didn't make or break motherhood, but they're the thing that feels like the most emblematic to me about that time of my life. Well, ladies, this has been so super fun. I love hearing about like some of the new things that are on the market now. I'll have to go check out that pump. I can imagine like how much milk wouldn't have gotten lost in my bra forever if I had had that or in a nursing pad. Kind of sad now to think about all the milk that got wasted, but it's truly no crying over 25-year-old girls, right? So this has been really fun. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Mom Hour. You can find out more about Kia and Catherine at the contributors page on our site, themomhour.com/contributors. And I wanted to let you know that another member of our contributor team, Sarah Lindberg, who also had a baby pretty recently, has a blog post up this week all about how to make the most out of your baby registry with some practical been there, done that tips about where to focus your energy, what to stock up on early, and what you can probably wait on. We'll link that up in the show notes, or you can find it at themomhour.com/blog. Okay, Sarah and I will be back on Tuesday with a brand new episode, and we'll talk to you then.